You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
3 years ago,
everyone at the Touched
woke up with a power.
The Touched are rewriting the rules of reality. I want them under control. Even if it requires a bloodletting.
I will cut your face to a mess.
You know, the Touched.
Yes, they have weird deformities and afflictions.
They're unhappy.
Well, whatever they are,
I think they're a goldmine.
You know what a better world could be like.
Is that the mission you were going on about?
Yes, I do have a mission. And I'm not cut out for it. But it matters.
There's a harmony to our world that's worth preserving.
The Touched are not a threat, yet you seem determined to prove that they are.
The Church, the purists, they're a danger to us.
We have enemies we don't know about yet. Oops.
I am here for a reason.
Our first response cannot be hate. We'll be lined up in the streets.
I want the wicked punished and the good protected.
You often engage in public violence.
I know where I am in a fight, because I see glimpses of the future.
Something happened.
It's not fun watching you throw yourself at danger like you think it's going to propose.
Could be fun.
Let's just talk about that shit. What's going on?
You know, it's like,
fine, I can leave it up. We're talking about the budget. I can just watch the live stream and tell you about what's going on with the budget. Or we can talk about the Nevers.
Every time I hear the name of this, I can't help but think of another line from another Joss Whedon show, which is just, I ain't had nothing twixt my Nevers that don't run on batteries.
Well,
yeah, a classic piece of prose.
Unfortunately, it is one of those lines that has stuck in my head for a very long time. Yeah, because I am not a good person. but anyway, and one of those moments that you kind of like, you look back on and you think,
ew. Yeah. Great. So with that anecdote squarely put behind us, comparing one Whedon-esque show to what I would now consider this show as Whedon adjacent or Whedon ejected sort of show.
Whedon interrupted?
Yeah, ooh. Sure. let's talk about Victorian X-Men and why this is a poorly formed metaphor.
I think you'll find it's Victorian Buffy.
Well, Victorian Bexman? Oh. Ex-Uffy. I don't know
how I pronounce any of these things. And,
yep.
Honestly, not sure I care.
I mean, like, when did people first hear about the Nevers?
That's a really good question.
Was it when I said we're doing the Nevers next last week and you're all like, oh, yes. What's that show about?
No, I think it was a few months ago I saw a trailer.
Yeah, I saw a trailer and I thought, that looks cool. I should definitely like that show. That's got a lot of ingredients in it that I think that I would like. And then I thought, ooh, I'm a little bit mad at the creator of that show, so perhaps I won't watch it. And then last week you were like, let's watch the Nevers. And that's how we got here for me.
Really similar, to be honest. I was kind of like, I remember, I'm not even sure. I think I remember watching a trailer and going, so it's just ex-women, but in Victorian England.
Yes.
Cool.
Which I find, like, I had the same sort of thing of like, Joss Whedon's new show. I'm like, that's a little bit there. But I will also go, I wanted to watch it because there's a lot of people who worked on it and I don't want to discredit any of their hard work on it. It's just unfortunate that it is a little muddied at the moment. And continues to get murkier and murkier. No, absolute no wonder. They were like, and that's enough of you now. And we're continuing on with what we have here as a thing that we've put a lot of money into. We've built a lot of sets and costumes, and now we've put a lot of money into it. And if that is the case, we're going to have to show you how much money we put into it by keep showing that car track thing over and over and over again.
So in my pants, just saying, knowing nothing about the Joss Whedon saga until you read my Facebook post about it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's
a bit of a blow to a very kind of big part of my childhood, but
yeah,
sure. You know, that's fine. We have to sometimes separate the art from the artist if we can, and sometimes we can't, and
yes,
we just need to move on from things.
I am so glad that he is out of the picture, because that means he won't ruin a Batgirl movie if he was ever going to make one.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, also, that means the
they Nevers... named him on a Batgirl film like a long time ago.
It also means the Nevers might actually get a season two. just by default. It's like, is Joss off it? Great. You can get a green light season two. Let's go straight ahead.
Honestly,
we'll do it.
I think you may not be far from the truth with that one, because I guarantee you that there is a network who is looking at this and going, we need, like, we've put a lot of money into this and we don't want a show to fail purely because the creator is now no longer, you know, acceptable in society. So maybe we should give it a second season just to see whether it can fly without him.
Mm.
I'm hoping, maybe, I don't know. But then again, I mean, we're four episodes in, so who knows whether we want it to continue for another season.
Sure. Well, yeah, we've had a vast, vast experience of four episodes with which to cast a judgment across this entire season of television. So hit me. What's good about it? Well, tell me why I should watch
it. I mean, what is it costume about might be a good place to start.
Why? Yes, we don't need that.
I will tell you about the Nethers. No, that's the Netherlands. Sorry, that's a different
thing. The Netherlands? Yes. Clogs?
Yeah. tulips.
Tulips.
Dykes.
That's all. That's all there is. They're in Eurovision. I've got nothing else for you. Okay. In the last year of Victoria's reign, London is beset by the touched people, mostly women, who suddenly manifest abnormal abilities, some charming, some very disturbing. Among them are Amalia True, a mysterious, quick-fisted widow, and Penance Adair, a brilliant young inventor. They are the champions of this new underclass, making a home for the touched, whilst fighting the forces of, well, pretty much all the forces. So, yes, to make room for those whom history will know, it has no place. That's a very strange synopsis. Like, it ends very badly, and I don't know where it was going. Anyway, yeah.
What if I just said, The Nevers is an epic science fiction drama about a gang of Victorian women and men who find themselves with unusual abilities, relentless enemies, and a mission that might change the world forever.
Gang is a strong word, but yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is.
Come on, they're definitely a lady gang.
For a start, there's not only ladies in the gang.
Yeah,
just mostly ladies.
Maybe there'll be a gang by the end of the season. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt, shall we?
Sure. It's definitely... Well, I wasn't going to say Charles Xavier. It's like Chantel Xavieri's School for the Gifted, where our
Why not just Charlie with an I?
Charlie X's School for the Gifted Orphans, set in Victorian England for some God knows reason.
God, Tim Burton one, the school for...
Miss Peregrine's school for unusual children.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
The moment I saw the trailer, I was kind of like, oh, it's a bit of that, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a school for weird people who have magical powers or something.
And, yes. This Victorian era group of women who are trying to protect a society that hates and fears them has nothing to do with the X-Men protecting a society that hates and fears them. It's very different.
Yeah, totally.
Very, very.
You're not buying any of this shit, are you?
I can see Peter and Jill going, it's concerning you guys.
Look, I mean, you know, Jill called it Victorian Buffy. from a strictly character profile sense, it kind of is. You've got the tough leader character, the quiet but clever friend, the man who's in love with her. Like the Scooby gang is kind of there in the characters, but I feel like that's where the Buffy comparison stops, because it is without wit or, you know, timing or...
There was a little bit of wit in episode four.
I found some wit.
A little bit.
Everybody, look, I found some wit.
Yeah, in like Amalia's character, she made a quip and I'm like, oh shit, that's Buffy.
I caught that quip. Buffy. I caught that quip just for a second, and then I was like, yes, more of that, please. Ah, oh, where's it gone?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, she has a personality. Oh, and it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. As I've said, and I think it's somewhere in the ticker. It is going in the ticker right now. I was just looking at it going, so did somebody just go, okay, we need Jessica Jones, but in Victorian England.
Yes, in a corset.
And yeah, in a corset, and then have her beat up some monsters from Doctor Who or something like that.
I like also how we like they had to get like Aldi brand Eva Green for the leader of this particular. She's fine, and she's actually not a bad thing. You know, I just note that in Miss Peregrine's School for Gifted Peculiar whatever children, she was playing almost exactly the same character who didn't use corset foo to beat people up. But it was just kind of like, oh man, I wish Eva Green had been this person, because you know you need someone who eats scenery. It to be that kind of a lead, and no one eats scenery better than Eva Green.
True.
I mean, I quite like Laura Donnelly in this role. I don't think it's a problem with the casting. I think it's a problem with the
writing.
The writing, the tone. Maybe my expectations were skewed. You know, expecting. Like, you know, if I'm going to watch a Joss Whedon creation despite being upset at the whole Whedon-ness of it, I expect more Whedon-ness, you know. The things that we all loved about Buffy and Dollhouse and Angel and Firefly and all of those things, or the things that I loved about it, was the script and the wit and the timing and the really fun characters. And, you know, this feels really straight. Like, it feels like a straight kind of, you know, trying to be a big budget HBO thing, but it's missing an ingredient to make it Game of Thronesy.
It's missing the
ingredient that makes it the bit of the weirdness that we liked. And it really fell flat for me. And I had a lot of trouble getting into it, and it surprised me.
Was it because you couldn't understand half of the dialogue in the first episode? Because I had trouble. I actually had real trouble of going, what the fuck did he just say? What did they say to each other?
What's complicated in the setup in the first few episodes is that there is... they've diversified their big bads, and so it's really quite convoluted trying to figure out who are these characters that we're supposed to be liking up against, and that makes it really hard to connect to the characters for me. You know, simplifying a little bit and then adding to the big bads as we went along. But from the very first episode, I'm like, wait, which one of these people is the evil one? Like, honestly, just pick one and let me focus on that for a second, because...
Yeah, like within the first three or four episodes, there's kind of like, okay, well, there's that doctor guy, there's the swan guy, there's the other person who looks like they're possibly evil, there's the beggar king who may be evil, I don't know, there's the person who throws fireballs, she's probably... Oh, no, maybe she's not, I don't know.
Can I just touch on Nick Frost?
The beggar king.
And malaria or whatever.
Nick Frost is just an absolutely... terrible villain, because I don't care.
Why Nick Frost? That character could be played by anyone. It just seems like a weird choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Nick Frost.
Mm.
But it's kind of like, oh, I love you, but well, why are you there? And then only briefly so far.
Yeah.
Seems
yeah,
well, underutilized.
Yeah. And not doing anything that, you know, Nick Frost is even particularly good at. Like he's, we've seen him be, you know, kind of likable and stuff for so long that you're looking at this Beggar King going, what are you doing? Like, I'm waiting for a joke to come out of him. And so when he doesn't, you're kind of like, and?
Yeah, there's absolutely zero humor in this show whatsoever.
There are some here and there.
Here and there.
Some of it's quite lovely. Like, not humorous, okay, but name one. Lovely. Hmm? What do you mean? A lovely one or a joke?
Yeah, well, a joke.
What's lovely?
Well, I like some of the show is quite lovely when it comes across.
True. Oh, okay, yeah.
Sorry, I meant that. Like, you're saying all those jokes, and yeah, I agree. And some of it's quite lovely in its representation. Like, I like some of the characters are quite interesting when you start to explore more of the orphans and why they're all together, the touched, as it were. And I can't think of that. And I'm sorry, Quinny. I was saying it earlier when we weren't live, but I was just, every time I hear someone say the touched, I'm like, you got the power. And a guitarist goes off in the back. And I'm like, that's just not what you want from your touch.
But after all is said and done.
Yeah. You never run.
Yeah.
You're a winner. But yeah, I don't want that kind of craziness. I like having, you know, good writing and good connection. So all the pieces are there. I think you're right, Peter, in saying that it's missing the bits that we had from you know, Buffy and Angel and Firefly. But
it also has so many of these bits that to me felt like just ripped straight out of the Buffy or Angel playbook. You know, one of the big bads for however, you know, those first four episodes is the character whose name I can't remember, the Which serial one? Killer, Mal. What is it?
Malady.
Malady.
Malady. Malady.
Yes, yes.
It's the old-timey name for a sickness.
Illness, yeah. And so Malady is, you know, showing up and, you know, depending on how far you get through the series, she's either an Incredible Hulk-style thing that can't be brought down or somebody who can be choked out in a minute or she's... Or she's just fucking Drusilla from Buffy and written in exactly the same way. And I'm like, this is fucking lazy.
Obligatory crazy lady. Like,
who talks in a British accent and occasionally says, my fiddly bombs are off the flip dude.
It's uncanny, Quinny. That's your best that's your best impression, hands down.
Yes. Oh, my Monopoly bumps has gone into the thing, but I'm still going to fucking kill you. I'm like,
oh, and good. Thank you for the update there, Predakanga. Apparently that strange dichotomy is resolved in episode 5, the one that we haven't seen yet.
I have watched episode 5, so thank you, Predakanga. Oh, well, I understand your reference.
Great. You've done all the recommended reading and you're much better than us, Peter. That's okay. And you even went to a wedding on the weekend. Like, where do you find the time, Peter?
Round of applause for Jesus poor Peter Christ. For actually getting it all done.
MC'd a wedding, came back and, you know, did all the recommended reading and you've already written.
Well, 5 episodes of dribble.
Done. Yes,
but the weird thing is I found myself annoyingly getting interested in the story, which I shouldn't have been. Like, it's fucking tedious and there's so much of it that really does kind of, you're just like, oh God, okay, that character is doing that. Okay, whatever. But by the end of the 4th episode, I was still kind of like, kind of want to know what happens next.
Does warm up. The warm is way too slow though, because again, if I hadn't been watching it to talk about it, I probably wouldn't have switched on a second episode.
Absolutely.
Same. Yeah, I'm frustrated by it because every time I feel like I'm about to get into it, it makes a decision or something happens in the show. Like there is a decision there that I'm like, well, I don't care anymore. Why'd you do that? That's so stupid.
Killed off that character. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was really annoying. It's like, oh, that character looks really nice. Maybe they'll get to, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, fuck
me. You know, as soon as that character was introduced, I could see coming a mile away because it's so fucking predictable.
Yes. Are you sure? Got a target on you.
Apart from the end of episode 4 where they're like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, here's the big turn.
Yeah. I didn't get that far.
Well, they basically hold up a giant sign going, this is the bit that we're going to surprise you with at the end of the season. And you're like, really?
Here's the main
plot. I love Peter's grimace because she's seen episode 5, so maybe it all happens there. And she's like,
tell me when we get to spoilers and then I won't need to watch the rest of it.
Mm. Okay, no, here's where I'm at, though. By the end of episode 5, I'm like, I'm actually kind of interested to watch the next episode now.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
By the end of episode 5.
Yeah, that's
I feel
long.
Like that's a misstep.
That's way
that's
too
a long.
Long
time.
Because after 2, I was so bored. I'm like, oh, I've got to put this away for later.
Yeah.
And had to force myself to keep watching it today. So I wanted to at least get 3 episodes under my belt in case something happened, in case there was a hook to keep me, you know, coming back. But I don't know. It's still a little bit dull. I don't really think I'll be bothered to keep watching.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, I get
yeah.
it. I
do like some of the characters, but I just don't feel like I'm seeing enough of their personality to get to like them more or love them.
Like I'm really interested in seeing or finally trying to find a villain to focus in on. And I really hope that they could have focused in on Dennis O'Hare's evil, weird doctor who does stuff. Because I like Dennis O'Hare. Okay.
I like Dennis O'Hare too. He's a nice guy, but I did spend nice at least an episode and a half going, why do I know that dude? Why not? Oh, yeah.
Just
that's
the
right.
evil German in Preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and
I haven't even watched it.
No, that's Pip Torrens.
Oh, sorry.
He was, who I don't think I have ever seen play anything except a very evil character.
No, Dennis O'Hare was from True Blood. He played the King of Vampires at one point.
Oh, I never watched True Blood.
Oh, come on. And yet you'll watch all of Grey's Anatomy. Come on.
No. I quit after 8 seasons.
Dennis O'Hare was very sweet. I met him at a supernova and he was lovely.
He is, yes.
That's
lovely
the thing. That's, like, from a personal perspective, lovely man.
But he does some terrible things in True Blood. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rob saying, I'm surprised Anthony Stewart Head hasn't made a cameo yet. Give us time.
Give it
also,
time.
I mean, this then does lead to that question of, like, there are very few familiar faces in there. And from everything you hear about Joss, I don't know that you're going to see many old faces coming back.
So there's Olivia Williams from Dollhouse was the one that I picked.
Yeah.
As I recognize her from somewhere.
You know, like Charlie Xavier clone wheelchair woman.
Lady in wheelchair.
Her,
yeah.
Yes, right. Rich lady in wheelchair or rich dude in wheelchair is just the epitome of everything, isn't it? Lives in a castle, must be rich and in a wheelchair. That's why they fund a whole bunch of young people to go off and have adventures where they may become paraplegics too.
Wow.
Dion.
What?
Dark. Fucking real dark, dude.
Yeah, well, hey, I just came out of watching Invincible, so shut up.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, okay, what do we like about it? I know that Beck had some very positive things to say about the costuming.
Yeah, I agree. If anyone has heard of Bernadette Banner on YouTube, go and check out her videos. She dissects a lot of TV and movies based on their historical accuracy, even though that's not a term that can actually be applied to something.
Dion looked like you were about to explode there for a second.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, she dissects a lot of, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What does she dissect?
Oh, right.
And according to her, this is probably, like, the most accurate techniques used in creation of, like, Victorian-style costumes. And she says that you know, women actually had a lot of maneuverability in corsets and that it's like it's a common misconception from people that you have like a sort of rigidness when you're in a corset. So a lot of the action sequences and stuff that are performed in corsetry and even the stunt work is done in corsetry, like the previs for stunts is all done in corsetry. This is pretty incredible. And she said that the actresses are actually really quite fluid in the way that they wear their costumes, and they wear them quite well. Like, they hold themselves in a really well, like the manner of which you would hold yourself whilst wearing restrictive Victorian clothing.
Yeah.
No, the costumes got a really good rap from experts.
I think it does, as a series, it looks pretty. Like, the world that they've built, the steampunkiness of it, everything, I think it looks pretty good.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of it that's, a lot is steeped in, like, our historical periods, but there just seems to be like a sort of parallel divergence of these two universes, where one branched off into, you know, this weird sci-fi kind of Victorian fantasy and our world. So yeah, there's some key, seems to be like a little bit of, you know, historicalness.
Mm.
Yeah. That parallels with ours, but yeah, slight divergence. But I kind of like the funky cars and inventions and stuff that Tennant comes up with.
Dion, what did you say to me about the car?
I can't actually remember what I said specifically about the car, apart from the fact that they must have spent a lot of money on it, because it appears in every episode. Like, look, they're driving the car. Remember the car? The car thing that we had in the first episode. We made a car. You should watch them as they drive the car around. Off it goes, long drone shot, what's in the car?
Yeah. It did feel like, well, we've got one big budget item that we're going to like wheel out, because that's, we like, built it. It's real.
It's like the fire. It's like the Serenity ship. It's that's the one. That's the thing that we do. But also, I love that it's made by our Forge knockoff.
Irish Forge.
Yeah, Irish Forge. Forge is being a character from the X-Men who is whose mutant ability is a creator and an inventor and can make stuff. So basically he makes all the cool inventions because that's what he does. And I'm watching this and I'm like, ah, she's Forge. Great. Yeah. I'm just ticking off, like, you know. The first one is like, obviously Wolverine. Hard drinking, punches things, has a metal skeleton, maybe? I don't know. But can see the future. Some weird cross. Actually, it's like the daughter of Wolverine and Jean Grey. Precog and fighting and hard drinking.
I don't think Jean had precognitive abilities.
Well, she did mental things.
It's all the same. They use their brains.
Whether you can see them in the future or what, who cares?
Yes.
And then you get, you know, the black pyro lady, who is, you know, well, she is black and she has the powers of Pyro, the X-Men.
Sure.
Sorry, I don't know. Probably could have phrased that better. Yeah. Okay.
Right now, for tonight's budget update, better. I can see that Josh Frydenberg has
Black Falcon.
Josh Frydenberg has revealed $30 billion in tax cuts. So that's great. Excellent. Good to know. That's what we needed. There's your budget update for now. And back to the Nevers.
Actually, Rob makes an interesting point in the chat that Joss Whedon did write both X-Men and Runaways, so these are probably a whole bunch of rejected story ideas from both.
And it feels a little bit like he's just putting in some, like, some not very polished work. It's like, well, hey, you did all these shows and people seem to like them and it has a big fan base. Could you maybe do one of that for us? It's like, yeah, sure, I'll see what I got lying around.
I wouldn't call it unpolished, because production-wise it is quite polished. Story-wise, it just doesn't feel like it knows what it wants to be, or maybe he's like, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something straight, and it just hasn't. It just doesn't. It's just missing. It's missing some heart.
Yeah, I'm going to do something that's straight, that is appealing to an adult audience. I'm going to go for, you know, a hard adult, in the sense that we're going to have, you know, sex and nudity and swearing and all that kind of stuff. I've never been able to do that before.
Shit just kind of comes with the HBO banner, doesn't it?
To me, it feels like it sort of doesn't necessarily belong, or, you know.
No.
What's going on?
I also feel like our expectations of television have increased exponentially in recent years. And I feel like if this was released 10 years ago, we'd all be pretty excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that we just have a low tolerance at the moment. Like, I remember so many times I've told people, Jill, like, you just got to push through the first three seasons of Supernatural and then it gets good. It was
but
different.
The thing is, of the time, it was fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's absolute crap. But
I've got to say, I'm
if you
really,
stuck with it for 15 years like we did, you keep watching.
I'm really bored. Like, I'm really sick of the boring orgy.
Where, oh,
like
really?
The board, like everything that has been on
screen.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like here's a club of back. Here's a club of bacchanalia that we're just going to represent on screen where anything goes, and that's how it kind of goes. And you look at it, and you're like, that's not. That's kind of okay.
Yeah,
like,
it did seem incredibly dull, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's the same. Yeah. It's the same
for
problem.
An orgy that has a whole bunch of people who have superpowers.
Yes,
I was kind of like, okay, so we're doing some shibari rope work, and
yep.
There are some people fucking over there. Cool. Okay.
Only ever seems to be the one guy that's doing the fucking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you can't have more than one person fucking at the same time.
It's like some of it's off screen. Personal sex club. Like he's inviting all these people to his sex den, but he's really the only one there.
It's the same problem with The Witcher.
And we still managed to have the signature HBO unnecessary boob nudity that's kind of like, but why?
Yeah.
Oh, but there was a penis. There was a penis in one shot.
Really?
My word, it was very large.
Shit, I
didn't clock that. I must have been looking away from the screen at that moment.
Well, no, there was one that I looked at and I went, oh,
looks like you've got to
cast you.
You must have been yawning.
And I also, once again, find the lack of body diversity in the casting extremely annoying. I'm just so sick of it.
Especially when there is a character who is a bigger lady who even makes fucking jokes at her own expense.
I know, and it's irritating. She's actually a great character, but it's irritating to me that the one fat woman is the sex worker because, again, it's kind of one of the only corners that we are allowed to cast fat women or women, you know, who are busty and have them be those characters. And I just, it gives me the irrits, guys, and particularly, you know, these beautiful costumes and this corsetry and all the lovely lines on these long, slender women. And the more I look at it, the more irritated I get because I'm like, come on, guys.
What do you mean about this stuff? There's Primrose. She's a positive role model for giant 10-foot tall girls.
How do we feel about the effects on that? Because I did not buy 1 second
every
of
Primrose. Fucking dodgy. Nope.
They're ropey. They're ropey, but I love them and I love the character.
There was one moment where I did have a little Lord of the Rings moment where Mabel, I don't know,
Myrtle jumps into her arms.
Yeah, and I was like, Gandalf.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it was. I was like,
yeah, that was a weird moment. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I like the character. I don't like the... It never once looks anything like believable.
No. But still, hey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So was there anything in there that worked well for you? Like, Pete, what is it about it that's made you go, I think I kind of want to watch another episode?
They finally kicked off some plot.
Oh.
Do you actually give a shit about Inspector Frank Mundy?
I give a little bit of a shit about Inspector Frank Mundy, to be honest.
I don't give a shit about him at all. He's not recognizable to me because unless they were focusing on him, there's nothing that makes him stand out. And I go, that's bad for a character actor on a television show. Everyone needs to stand out in an ensemble cast unless you've got a storyline that focuses solely on them to give you development. But he's just melts into the wall. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, cool, are you an extra? Like, do you think he gets turned away from Crafty a lot? Because they're like, no, background goes eats over there. And he's like, I'm the main character.
Wow. No, I actually, to be honest, he's one of the characters that I have grown an interest in. The other one being, what's his name? The bumbling brother.
The crow guy.
The crow guy.
Oh, the war.
Only because I think he's sweet and, you know, I love me a little ship and I'm like, okay, well, that's like a sweet little, you know, character development opportunity. The rest of it, yeah. Just there's a plot point that's kind of kicked off at the end of episode five that's kind of made me go, okay, like they might be kicking off something that feels a little bit more exciting.
And it only took five episodes. Great.
And it only took five episodes and like lots of convoluted different people that we're not sure if we should be afraid of them.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know when we get to spoilers what this plot point is, because I feel like we have had tiny, tiny, tiny little snippets of maybe something more going on that haven't really been pushed to keep me watching. I've just kind of seen stuff and go, oh, hang on, is that something, something? Yeah. So, good to jump to spoilers soon so I can...
It's good at spoilers. I think that's one of the problems with it. I don't know who's the big bad. If there is a big bad, what is the bad? Is human nature the bad? Is colonialism the bad? I'm unsure because there are so many things there, which is like, could this person be the bad? It's like, no, just give me good and bad. Let me know who I'm supposed to like. Let me know who is evil and supposed to be bad. I don't need...
And, like, if you've got a character who you think is good but then, like, you're going to reveal that they're evil, like, that's got to be, like, a big plot twist at some point. You don't just kind of do it, like, a little bit gradually and work it in there.
Or be like, this character is part of the bad team. Whoop, nope, she's come over and now she's part of the good team. It's like, but why? There was no explanation as to why apart from the, come on, come help us. We're cool.
Come on. Come on, Magneto. You should probably fight for the good guys.
That's fucking, I know. Yeah. So many allegories. And stop thumbing through old copies of X-Men, Joss.
There is a lot in there. Like, the thing is, for me, there are moments where I was like, wow, visually, this is really cool. Like, there is a fight between Amalia and this gigantic dude.
What a fight. That was so cool.
Yeah.
That was, genius. I'm like, never seen anything like that before. That's very great. Cool.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, that's really cool. And that's really interesting. Yeah.
But where is fucking... that cool thing, like, every episode?
But it also came out of kind of nowhere. And you're like, what? Like, who's that guy? Why is he fighting her? What the fuck is going on? Why? Okay, cool. Great. Okay. You know, whether I needed to be paying more attention because he was in the background of some other shots or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, he didn't necessarily have that immediate visual language of, like, oh, it's that dude with the gun on his arm or, you know.
Oh, yeah, Gunfist. I remember that character. It was so great I got to learn more story about Gunfist.
Yeah.
and Toes Off Lady.
Man, there's some really shit characters in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Predicator says, oh, who's the bigger kid? King's Consigliere, or how you pronounce that.
Yes. Wow, that's a very big
But I was
word.
Like, I don't think he was very much of a consigliere. He was Mike the Beggar King's enforcer. He wasn't doing too much there to, He reminded me of the one out of Hot Fuzz. Yarp.
Yarp.
All right. Okay. Before we then, if you want to get to the spoilery goodness parts, ratings. Come on. Come on, then. Hit me with stuff. Go, Peter. Tell me. What do you want?
Look, I don't know. Like 60?
60. Okay.
I don't want to pan it because, you know, it is. It might get good. And you know, the production values are high and I don't really have a strong problem with any of the actors or performances. It's just didn't grab me. And it has all of the ingredients that really should have grabbed. Like, this should be well up my alley.
You can caveat this. I mean, it is based on the first five episodes. I'm giving it a 60, you know.
Based on the first five episodes.
We are well known for giving, what was that science fiction TV show by fucking...
Orville.
Like absolutely panning the Orville based on the first episode and then going, actually, it's really good. You should watch it. It's good. We can adjust that.
I like that Predakanga has put a 53 in the chat.
Oh.
That's lower than I expected, considering how positive you've been about it so far, Predakanga.
Angela LaRue, what have you got? How many?
I'm going to go 50 because I'm so meh about it. I'm just like, I'm really indifferent. I did try watching it on the weekend with mum, and she's like, oh, this is a really good little show, Jill. And I'm like, yeah. When she says, it's a good little show, it's not really good. Sorry, mum, but she doesn't watch this. It's fine.
you've taken the pub.
I think she's going to continue watching it because it's something that she can just put on in the background while she's doing other things and doesn't have to pay a lot of attention to. That's why it's a good little show. But I found it really quite boring and tedious to get through after two episodes. Came back to it today and watched another 1¾. So, yeah, I'm not going to go racing back to continue watching this series unless you guys tell me something in the spoiler section that absolutely changes my mind, but I doubt it.
That's all. Well, that depends on how hard Peter's going to sell you on it. having watched the fifth episode. I'm leaning towards the 50-50 because I was a bit but I'm actually a little bit less intrigued on it, so I'm going to about 40 because I'm just not there. I'm not hooked, and I want to I will keep watching it. I mean, I've watched worse. That's a bad praise. I have sat through worse, and I think it deserves more than that because everyone's doing a pretty good job. All the things, all the ingredients are there. The dialogue and the storyline is too convoluted and woeful. So I'm just kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I can be bothered to. 40. There you go.
It's just missing the secret sauce.
Yeah, where's the sauce? There.
I do like Panda Attack, and the thing is meh a score? Yes, meh is very definitely a score.
I gave it a meh.
is 50.
Yeah.
That's the official meh.
Yeah. I mean, and I love the fact that 10 or 15 years later we come back to rating films by cool shot and meh. I thought we got away from this a long time ago.
Yeah, simpler mechanic. We thought we'd get all scientific. There's a method.
Yeah, we do numerical ratings, but somehow we always come back to meh.
I always find that's worse. Like, either make me angry or make me happy, and in the middle it's just like, oh, it's just I can't tell you not to watch it, and I can't tell you to watch it.
I think that is possibly the greatest crime a TV show can do is be, you know, because even if you hate something, you're like, fuck, I'm never watching that piece of shit again. But man, you're like,
I don't know. Don't listen to us. You should listen to us or not. I don't care. Go watch whatever TV you want.
Yes.
What are you getting?
I'm going to rate. I actually found myself getting progressively more interested in it, much to my annoyance. So I am up there with Peter on it that by the end of the fourth episode, I was kind of like, fuck it. Kind of want to know what happens next. I don't think it's good, but there's enough hooks in me that I'm like, shit, I really kind of want to know. And the thing is, I like Anne Skelly as she's not Truth, is she? She's a dare. Also I hated that Truth and a dare as and I was like, really?
True or dare?
Fuck off.
It's true or dare. It's truth or dare. Get it?
Wow.
Get it? Yeah.
Did not see it until you just said it.
Get it?
I heard it within the first 2 seconds and I literally was like, did they just go truth or dare?
Does that mean that there is actual name, like all the names in the characters like mean something else? Like, you know, Lavinia Bidlow, she always undercuts people?
Yeah, probably.
Swan, he's just...
Because he's swanning around.
Yuck, I hate it even more now. That just seems really cheap. Oh, Christ.
You know, Augustus, sorry, Lord Masson, he's like...
A Masson, a bunch of war.
He's a Mason, controlling the world. Get it, Masson?
Lost me on that one.
Okay, my official rating is 56.
56, okay.
56. Clickety click, no. I, it's, It's not good, but there's a part of me that still wants to watch the next fucking episode. And I quite like watching Laura Donnelly, and I don't really know why.
I am really excited to hear Peter Sellers on
on the next episode.
On the fifth episode. So
not going to be a hard sell, guys.
Well, that's the best kind of sell. It's like, well, you can watch it if you want. Like, I mean, it's just right there. You should watch it. Or maybe you don't. I don't care. Just take it off my hands. Three times the price. All right. So should we go to a clip?
Yes.
And then come back.
Yes, we should.
And talk about Spoilery Town.
It's mad. Primrose, you've got to see.
Mother says motor cars are common.
Common? There's only eight of them that ever were.
I wouldn't expect you to understand, but Mother says they're a blight.
Yeah? She say that lately? On a visit, maybe, that we all missed.
As though you know anything about being a mother.
Primrose.
She didn't mean that.
She thinks she's too big for a spanking.
Coming through!
All right, come on. Don't suffocate them. It's only a carriage. No? That's fucking amazing.
Martel, this is Dr. Horatio Cousins. He swears a lot.
Demo.
No, I don't. How was your journey?
Eventful. Lucy, I need to send a letter to Mrs. Bidlow. Let her know about the attack.
Attack? What attack?
Lucy, pen, paper.
I'll set up in your rooms.
Shop talk first.
Not first.
This is just a scratch.
Primrose? I can't ride in it, so I don't see what...
No, it's just... I recalled you saying you didn't have anyone your own age to talk to.
I'm Miss Chataway. But you may call me Primrose. I hope we'll be friends. So, what's your turn? I'm large.
No, I'd say ganit na yung gavado.
Myrtle has a language situation, and I imagine she could use a cup of tea.
Oh, do you want...
She does speak English. But not with her mouth.
Metamundia.
All right, come with me.
Yes. Fantastic, isn't it?
Yes, she's large.
What's your power? I'm large. It's like, oh yeah.
I am quite amazed at the girl that plays Myrtle being able to, you know, recite so many different languages for her lines. And like, yeah. It's not like a sentence is a language. She's swapping languages like
every time she opens
her sentences.
Yeah. Is she? Oh, I didn't know if it's through the sentences, but yeah, it's really.
Yeah, no, she's swapping within words. Like there is two or three words of one language and then shift across to something else.
Great.
So I'm guessing that somebody has just written them out and she is just doing it all phonetically.
Female cipher. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, which exactly. is.
Yeah, check. That's another one of the new
kind games. I'm going to get like on my bandwagon about like languages now, but like. The way that some sentences are constructed in languages is not all the same as English, where you put the verbs and the nouns and the adjectives and such. So I really don't know how she's making any sense to anybody that could understand her. If she's chopping halfway through a sentence and then how she's not doubling up on nouns and verbs, I don't know.
It's just
one technicality.
What's that, sorry?
Do you know why, Jill? And this is what I'm going to reference right now. It's because aliens.
Is it aliens? I mean, they haven't really said exactly what. And to be honest, that's the bit about the plot that I care about the least.
It's so fucking Doctor Who.
So am I mistaken that there's a wreckage of the alien ship somewhere?
And it's the glowy ball underneath the...
Right.
But
is this what the big plot turn is in episode 5?
No, I still don't give a shit about that, to be honest.
Hey, Dion, you should put up the spoiler thing.
Oh, yeah, fuck, sorry.
I'm just like...
I thought we were going to find out why these aliens dropped their weird hoodoo spores on
us. At the end of episode 4, you get the reveal that what's her name? Truth is more than likely one of
true.
The.
I just
true.
Would before we do that, the budget update.
They were hinting
is,
at that the whole time.
A whole bunch of people in suits still deciding our economic future. That's great to know. Wait, that's spoilers. The that's good, the one thanks. You wanted. Yeah, awesome. Okay, that was our budget update. Spoilers. Now we can go to Spoiler Town. Yeah, you're warned. We're talking about spoilers now. What happens in episode 5, Pete? Why should we keep watching?
The hint about, you know, True maybe being one of them, but it's again, it's just kind of a hint. At one point, she's like, it's okay, it's not my face. I'm like, what? That's interesting. Why is it not your face?
I know. And then they just completely ignore it.
So is she one of the aliens who's just jumped into somebody's body and is trying to survive?
Actually, nothing has become clear about that at all.
Or
what if the spores are the aliens?
And that was the
body
escape
snatches,
pod. And
but not everybody realizes yet.
Yeah.
Well, and also because everybody has forgotten the spaceship. Like, apart from Malady, who was the one who saw it, and because her brain was messed up at the time, was still able to remember it.
Yeah. And it's some sort of weird thing. I mean, like, I love that there are two fights between this. Is like, is it aliens? What the fuck is going on? Is it just colonial Britain? Is it racism? Is it what the is it the turn of the century where technology,
for, you know, whatever's happening in society at the moment. It's another talking point story. Never actually solving the problem of what is happening in our society, just pointing it out to everybody.
Or never actually explaining how some of these things could be resolved or providing any answers, just more and more. This is a show of questions and questions and questions. Like,
Rob is making a very, very good point in the chat. The question as to whether or not this is aliens or if it's time travel of some description. Because True does have a habit of using modern language for things. So she's like, oh, well, you've just invented an amplifier. And, you know, she wanted to call it something else. And I was like, well, that's a modern technological term for what she's done.
Yeah. I think, if we're going to speculate, I'm going to go, True is from the future. Like, that's the thing I'm getting, is that she's from the future. She's landed back in the past. She's trying to make sense of everything. And she gets flashes of, like, a little bit into the future, but I don't know how this relates to the alien underground and the
people who are like weird, you know, half faces on.
Yeah, and the zombie people and all this. Like, it's too complicated. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm. But did she land back into the past and body snatch the woman who had just jumped into the river, or
probably
all of it?
Yes. Anyway, maybe all of this will become clear. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. I did watch that opening scene multiple times because I was like, the fuck is going on? Like, focus here. Okay, so episode 5, full spoilers, guys. Do you want to?
Sure.
The Malady,
I am not invested in this at all.
The Malady that was very easily caught by the inspector was not, in fact, Malady, and that is how her powers seem inconsistent, and I'm assuming that when True is able to fight Malady, it's probably because True has additional strength. Look, I don't know. That's also not explained. Is True just like a good fighter, or does she have like is part of her X powers some kind of supernatural strength? Anyway,
I find it weird that like that's not True, the True version of Malady or whatever, when even at the end of that episode you see her in insane asylum or whatever, tied down, but her eyes are still glowing. I'm like, so like, are there multiple versions of this?
I did not clock the glowing eyes. I'd have to go back and look at that more carefully.
The end of the last episode where you last see her, she is strapped to a bed and her eyes are glowing. So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that makes the reveal in episode 5 make less sense.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty good to not keep going.
So then there's like True and what's her face? Penance have this big fight in episode 5 about who is going to do what mission, because True wants to go after finding the spaceship thing. And Penance wants to save Malady. And so they have a completely unnecessary fight about it, and all of the mutants split up into two camps to go and do separate missions.
Oh, God.
Just tell them this story, because they could have just delegated the roles. They obviously,
so we've got our X-Men and our Brotherhood now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And but by the end of that episode, it's basically, you know, both of the tasks that needed to be done have gone pretty badly for both of them. And there's kind of a sense that they're now kind of on the brink of a war, which, again, they have been not alluding to, directly saying that they're in
a war amongst each other.
Now it's starting to fight, no, a war against the outside.
Whoever they are.
Whoever they are, of the multiple big bads.
Marxism.
Yeah. Cultural Marxists. No,
I'm
I don't know.
Fucking done.
But there is one of those like slow motion moments at the end of episode 5 where everybody is coming back from their respective battles, all like damaged and wounded and looking at each other with knowing eyes like, oh, shit is on now, guys. Like, that's the end of episode 5.
So like the end of episode 3 where they're all coming back in slow motion after a funeral.
Thanks. Predacanga just checked that scene in the end of episode 4, Quinny, and you imagined the glowing eyes.
I really didn't. Well, I mean,
there's
an easy way.
A different scene?
There's an easy way we can fix this. Let's just call it up and look at it right now. No.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm happy to go back and be proven wrong, but I do remember looking at her and going, look at the eyes glow. Yeah, great. So, okay, we're heading towards war. Do we feel like by the end of episode 5, do you feel like there's any kind of more conclusion as to who a big bad is or what?
It is clearer who's working with who. So the big bad camps have kind of narrowed a little bit in terms of not being confused about, oh, who's doing this. At least it's clear all of the characters who we aren't supposed to like, what they're doing and the reason they're apparently doing it, even though there do seem to be still too many people with different big bad motivations running around. But it does kind of feel like at least our heroes are going to band together and get some shit done next episode. And if they don't, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, considering we're halfway through the season, though, yeah. Sorry. Season, series, who knows?
Whatever. Who knows? Maybe both. There is a moment where she's facing off against Masson, whatever, you know, Lord Dushkanu. I had a brief moment of like, oh, okay, so are these characters well known to each other? Is this going to be a history of...
It felt like Princess Bride without any comedy.
In episode 1.
Yeah, and like, they're playing off each other and, you know, like, oh, let's say you are the bad guy and what would you do? And I was like...
I know. And she comes back as if it was like a full reconnaissance mission and she never actually learned anything.
Yeah.
It was a battle of wits. To the death.
They had met in episode 1. And that was basically him just revealing his plan to her, basically saying, yes, you're in a war. You're in a war against me.
It was so convoluted.
It was so convoluted that I really didn't know what the fuck had happened by the end of it.
Mm.
Like, she seemed to know that something shit was happening and I was like, cool, I don't know what the fuck just happened. Did he just reveal that he killed people? No, okay. Is he just a union-busting asshole? Ah, fuck if I know.
He's just awful all round.
Yeah.
That poor man, he's just got a face for it.
He
wall-legged in Poldark as well, just like the shittiest characters that he plays.
I don't think I've seen him. I probably have, but I don't know.
Oh, Poldark. Oh, no, you've got to watch Poldark. Aidan Turner, baby.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly, you will see an actor from this also in Poldark.
Oh, okay. Right. Any particular one or just an actor, one of them?
What's her name? The song girl.
Oh, right.
Okay.
She's the main, one of the main characters.
Okay. I hope she comes back. I like
from the
her.
Dead.
You like? Yeah. I like that, that was just kind of one of those annoying ones. Like, oh, we've established that she's like a really important character that people want.
She's Victorian Cerebro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it would be really great if, like, oh, they've killed her. Like, fuck, why? Like, why introduce someone to make us, give us a linchpin?
Because she was the pure angelic character and, of course, they're the ones that have to die to start a war.
But why do you finally give us someone to literally follow because they're nice and then take them away immediately. Like, it's just...
Because that's how all fridging works.
Because until you fridged a woman, the show hasn't started.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
True, and unless she has some sort of love triangle with one of the other characters that isn't explained...
Yes, then she's not a real fully fledged character until somebody cares that she's dead.
Yes, exactly. And meanwhile, the next scene has to involve someone getting drunk as a way of dealing with their grief.
Yeah.
Oh, Jessica Jones, hello, you're back again.
That's something that I really got. After about three episodes, I was really starting to go, fuck me. Did somebody, like, was Joss just watching Jessica Jones going, I want that to be my new Buffy? Yeah. I want somebody who's angry and hard drinking and doesn't care about, you know, anything and will fight anyone and will fuck anyone. Yeah. And I want her to be black haired and acerbic and yeah, that. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's reductive, I know, but at the same time, it's...
Anyway, I'm just going to watch the rest of the season because I want to see how much they shoehorn in the car into the background scenes or use it for the rest of the time. Because they spent a lot of money on making that thing work.
Wait, there's a car?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, I'm just reading through the chat and Rob's like, at the beginning of episode five, I was confused about what was happening and I thought maybe they were playing the episodes out of order again. It's Firefly all over again.
Do you know what the greatest thing about the car is? Is that the person driving is driving the right way and the passengers are forced to sit looking like... sit backwards, so they're looking at the person driving like in a carriage, and I just went, that must be the most frustratingly annoying thing ever. Is that
why does the car have two wheels at the front?
Yeah,
that bugged me.
Yeah,
and one wheel,
surely that's harder to maneuver.
I'm like, how do you steer a car with two wheels at the front when you have one wheel at the back?
And the wheels are out on a very, very wide angle, which would mean that they've got to do a lot more complicated turning to make...
Very wide turning circle. You could not maneuver that through London streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Pretty Kangaroo has pointed out that getting drunk was a ruse and she was trying to seduce the fiddler to get the Beggar King's address. You're right.
No one gave a shit. Like, that was too much of a thing.
Yeah,
it's like that's too much. Like, no one wants to know. Like, I don't know who.
Anyway.
I don't know who's an evil person or who's a bad person. The Nevers. Are you going to watch it again? Never say never. But also,
Peter, will you be watching the rest of the season?
I'll be watching another episode, I think, and just, you know, if it does kind of kick off the way the end of episode five. Signals that it might kick off, then I'll probably keep watching. If it's just more convolutedness, I might just forget to catch up with it. And then, like, in 2 months, you'll be like, did you finish watching Nevers? They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a show that existed at some point.
Here's a
slightly more difficult question for you. Would you be more interested in watching the season of the show if it wasn't produced and directed by Joss Whedon?
Probably not.
I don't think my dislike of the show has anything to do with him. I think it's just very poorly written.
Yeah, I didn't set out to hate this show specifically because I'm no longer a fan of the Whedon, but... to be honest, I would like it better if it was more Whedon-y.
Yeah.
True.
Interesting.
I did notice, like, well, there's a bit of chat stuff going on in the chat about Sherlockian things. And someone had mentioned, oh, yeah, The Irregulars on Netflix. And I was like, yeah, we got good recommendation to watch The Irregulars, except it just got shit-canned. So that's like, no, that's a going in knowing, like, oh, this could be a good season that was quite good and knowing that it won't be any more.
Why is this? Because none of us have watched it yet. It's
our
fault.
Yeah, it is all our fault because we didn't watch it. Sorry, Irregulars.
Sorry. There's just been a lot on.
I'd also like to say sorry to Jupiter's. Was it Jupiter Ascending? Jupiter
Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd like to say sorry to it for existing.
Yeah, I feel like I dodged a bullet with that one because it came out and I was like, oh, that's out now. And then I saw the ratings coming through Rotten Tomatoes and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I watched
I could tell you from the trailer. It looked terrible.
Watched 25 minutes of it and I was like, oh no. Like the first 5 minutes of it, I was like, oh, this feels like real bad fucking cosplay. Like,
I'm like Josh Duhamel in a superhero show. No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and the first scene is a bunch of kids running around in a park, and it looks like it was shot on shitty video. I was like, how the fuck did you make it look so cheap? No, like, it just looks like it was shot as good as they could in about 1997. Oh,
God. Yeah, well, they did that on iPhones to get the real feel.
Oh.
Fuck, I don't know.
I don't know, but
style choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost would feel sorry for Mark Miller because, you know, like you're trying to pull your superhero show out just after Invincible has finished, and, you know, we've watched Watchmen and we've got all this other stuff, and now you're trying to release something that is just fucking amateur hour. You're like, oh, sorry, guy.
Yeah.
Yes, it was indeed shot on Betamax.
So what will we watch?
Yeah,
what's a good thing?
I'm super excited about this one because it's a film that I've already done the homework on. it's a film that was advertised fairly heavily at the beginning of the American summer as one of Netflix's big summer films, and one of the earliest ones out of the gate, and it is The Mitchells versus the Machines.
The Mitchells...
versus the Machines, directed by a couple of the people who were responsible for the Lego Movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yes. And it is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And I really look forward to you guys watching it and telling us what you think. And to all of you in the chat, go and have a watch. Come back. It's available right now. And you can watch it tonight. Come back next week and have a chat about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm very keen to hear other people's opinions.
You've just been going on about it, really. You've been like, you should really watch Mitchells and Machines. Everyone should watch it. It's really good. It's like, okay, yeah, dude, settle down.
Yep.
I have a whole bunch of fucking Avatar to watch.
I just want to point out to you that Casper isn't even there tonight.
What's a stream without me?
We offended him so badly after last week that he did not come back.
What's a stream without me referencing Avatar at least 4 or 5 times?
And Pretty Kangaroo is doing a recommendation as payback for Mortal Kombat Week. Bunheads from Amy Sherman Palladino. So I'm going to have a look into that one.
Fuck no, because I just watched the 1992 movie Nothing But Trouble on the weekend. And if I ever want to crawl into a hole and die after watching a movie, you should watch that one. Or don't. Yes. Dan Aykroyd's absolute dog of a film, Nothing But Trouble. But fascinating backstory and stories about the production of that, because the only reason it didn't get ceased production or taken over by the studios is because they were too busy watching Bonfire of the Vanities eat through all of their money, so they were just distracted by a bigger garbage fire while another movie was like a movie that was a garbage fire and really should have had the studio step in. This one was a bigger one over here. I also love how Quinny's frozen. This is absolutely amazing. He's just like stuck on this. I don't know where he's going, but we're not even going to worry about that.
We should all just freeze to make him feel better.
Yeah, we should freeze.
This is probably not good for the people watching.
No, it's probably not good for the people watching.
It's really not good for the podcast audience.
Yeah, no, it's really not. And I'm sorry. I was watching Dion still talking. I was watching Everything Still Happening, but that was only on the stream, so hi.
Yeah.
Who knows what that's going to be like in the podcast.
Perfect. It's dead air.
You should all subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah, dead air is amazing.
That's what we call dead air, yeah.
Oh, is that what that was?
Everyone loves dead air. It's, well, actually, what I'm going to call it's room tone. That podcast is Room Tone.
Oh, wow.
Hold for Room Tone, please. Well, great. We're going to watch the Mitchells versus the Machines and talk about it next week, which should be fun as fuck.
Better than this one?
Yeah. Never say never, Jill. Oh. Come on. Also, I'd like to shout out to one of our alumni, old cool shiders, Radders, who's a bit sick and getting a bit better at the moment. He's had a bit of a not great week. Just wanted to say, hope you get well soon.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
Nah, that's all right. I give this week a shite minus for him.
Oh.
There we go. You can do that.
Yeah, no, if we were going to rate by the old system, it'd be a shite plus for me.
Oh, well, this has all been very wonderful. Thank you for joining us in the chat over there. It was an excellent chat tonight, I say. The transcript was amazing. You all did amazing over there. There was a lot of good information that was being handed around the people there, including people who'd paid way more attention than we had to the Nevers, which is always great.
Shock horror.
Shock horror. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. I have been Dion.
I have been Quinny.
I've been Jill.
And I have been Peter.
Ah, and you've been listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.